If that didn't get you fired up, I don't know how to help you. I'll be honest with you. That is so good. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. As Pastor mentioned at the welcome, my name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving here as the pastor at the North Campus of our church. If you're a guest with us today, we are so excited to have you in worship with us. And those who are connecting for the very first time live online, we welcome you. We are so excited to be live streaming today, and we want to connect with you. So if you are here on campus, there's a couple of ways in which you can do that. You can either text the word connect to the number 55125, and we'll have an opportunity to follow up with you and share with you some information about us, or you could meet us when we're dismissed right out in the middle of the atrium at Guest Central, and myself and other staff members will be out there. We'd love an opportunity to be able to connect with you. For those of you online, you can just comment there in the chat room, and our ministry staff that is standing online would love to connect with each of you. If you have your copy of God's Word, would you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As I thought about our conversation today, in light of it being the dedication of so much of our ministry space being reopened in light of the Proclaim Initiative and just all of the things that we have done to be able to say yes to all of the opportunities that we believe God is entrusting to us, I began to think about just the opportunity, maybe even the appropriateness for us to be able to pay attention to our own need for refurbishing. You know, as followers of Jesus, we can be guilty, if we're not careful, of sometimes growing spiritually run down. And all of this great space that you see around us was reconditioned recently. It's been refurbished, and it's been given this new vibrancy and this new life. And the Christian life is one of continual need for renewal. And as much as a physical structure can get run down and feel outdated, and then it feels less than ready for whatever big uses it's going to have, so too can a spiritual being get run down spiritually speaking, and then hinder our ability to find a readiness or a preparation for whatever is ahead. I don't know if any of you are on Instagram, but in your Instagram feed, sometimes the algorithm will populate reels at the bottom of your feed, like videos, short videos, and based upon what it is that you watch or look at or like, that algorithm populates these reels, these short videos that they think you might have interest in. And it turns out I'm interested in a couple of things. One of them is steak. It populates with like grilling reels all the time, which is, I'm not apologizing for that. I praise God for a good steak. And also a car detailing. And I think it's just because of my organizational leadership, which my wife has very hatefully defined as OCD. But I have organizational leadership. I like things clean and neat and organized. And when we take family trips, and I've told you many times before that the Bales family vacation is a real sight to behold. It takes multiple vehicles for all of the humans and all of the things. And I don't like to take a long trip in a dirty vehicle. You know, I like it to be clean. I like it to be in good order. I like it to be ready because I think it just prepares me for whatever adventure that long trip is going to bring. And so too, for us spiritually, if we have not prepared ourselves, reconditioned ourselves, the language of the Bible is renewed ourselves, then we might not be ready for whatever God-given adventures He has for us. And I believe that God has great adventures for us as His people. I believe there are great things in store for you and for me. And I want to be spiritually renewed so that I can be found ready. Because if a rundown structure isn't ready for the big activities physically, then a rundown person might not be ready for the big activities spiritually. And I want us to be ready. Now, as it relates to this idea of renewal, this is not where the Christian life begins. No more than construction begins with refurbishing or reconditioning does the Christian life begin with renewal. No, the first place it begins is with being made new. This is the start of the Christian life. It's about regeneration. It's about being made new. totally new. And what I'm going to show you this in the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where you've turned, the Apostle Paul has written a letter to a church that is attempting to navigate in a culture that is at war with the things of God. And Paul's reminding these people that you don't have to live like the culture and you don't have to contend with the culture because you've been made new in Christ Jesus. You're not just made different. You're not just made better, but rather the language of the Bible is one of regeneration, one of being made new. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's just read in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you're there, say, I got it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you mark or highlight in your Bibles, and you should, underline that phrase, new creation. Paul goes on, he says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I love here the clarity of the scriptures, the clarity of what it is that Paul has said. Paul has said that you're not in Christ Jesus a better version of the old you. Like you're not an improved version. You're not a modified version. You're not a customary version. You are made new. You are entirely different. It's the language, again, of regeneration. It's the idea that you were dead and now you are alive. You are a totally different person. In fact, when he wrote his friend in the faith, another man named Titus, Paul speaks about the gift of salvation, and he uses this same idea, this same biblical language of newness or regeneration. This is what he says in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It's on the screen behind me. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration. Underline that word if you mark this in your Bible later. And renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior. So the big idea, fam, is that if you are in Christ, then we are made new. This is where the Christian life begins. And it is critically important that we understand this reality. Because if we don't believe that the Christian life starts with regeneration, starts with being made new, then we're going to be tempted to call ourselves Christians when all we're doing is our best effort to make ourselves better. But God didn't send Jesus to Calvary's cross to die a sinner's death so that you could be made better. But he condescended and left his throne in heaven, and he took on human flesh, and he took all of the punishment that was rightly deserved for you and for me so we would be made new, totally changed, completely regenerated, every one of us who are in Christ Jesus. And when you come to the understanding that in Christ Jesus, you are not better, but you are new, it changes everything about everything. It changes everything about, it changes how you can endure. It changes how you can engage. It changes how you can respond because you're new. Your identity has changed. Think about the ways in which we use IDs. Like if you work in an organization, a company, sometimes you have an ID, and your ID might have a picture, and it might have your name, and it might even say the department where you work or the title that you have. And so a lot of times, because of the way in which we use IDs, we often identify ourselves with what we do, and we transpose that into who we are. You know what I mean? So people would say, well, that's why when we're having conversation, very quickly you'll say, now, what do you do? Or what do you do? And what we're asking is, what do you do for a living? Or what is your job? But what we really mean is, how do I identify you? But listen, as followers of Jesus Christ, don't get it twisted. Your badge ID says, I belong to Jesus. My identity is in Christ. I just happen to work at a church. I'm just married to this girl. I'm the dad to these five kids. This is what I do. But who I am is a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you are in Christ, that's ground zero. That's foundational to everything you need to understand about everything that God is asking for you to do. And it's tragic when we get it twisted, because otherwise we're going to try to identify ourselves based on what we do or what we have or what we don't have or what we don't do. But your identity is not what you have. Your identity is who has you. You with me? I am a follower of Jesus Christ. But again, this is transformative. It's a positional reality. You were one way. Jesus saved you, and now you are totally different from that. And because of this, the Christian life is not a stagnant life. See, again, sometimes there can be a temptation in the church to treat the gospel like it's the finish line. But can I just love you well enough to say it is the starting gate? Like, you never outgrow your need for Jesus. You with me? We never outgrow Jesus. Jesus is not someone that we outgrow, but rather we grow greater with an understanding and affection into. He is not the finish line. He is the starting gate. And we have been changed in Christ Jesus. And then our lives require us to continue changing in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are clear about this. This is the reason why the Christian life is one of ongoing work by the same God that made us new. I'll show you several places in the Bible. If you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just turn a little bit to the right and look at the letter Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. The book of Ephesians, just a little bit right of where you are in 2 Corinthians 5. So turn a few pages to the right in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes to this church and he reminds them using the first three chapters of this book, hey, you are different in Christ Jesus. Here is the reality of what you have believed. And then 4, 5, and 6, he says, here's how that's going to work itself out in your life. And it's going to require you to go back to this understanding that because you are new in Christ, then you need to be renewed in Christ. The same God that changes is the God that is keeping. The God that saves is the God that sustains. He's going to say these kinds of things to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 4, pick it up in 17. Now, I say this and I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, do you know what Paul's just said? He said, this is the picture of every one of us before. Gentiles is a New Testament language for anyone who is far from God, anyone who is not yet born again. That's what Paul means when he writes. These are still people who are without God. And so Paul is using this language of before. This is before the reconditioning. This is before the refurbishing. This is the before someone has been changed and subsequently made new. And then Paul says in verse 20, but that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's interesting here that Paul is now using this language. It's a descriptive language talking about the same words that you would use when you speak of changing clothes. Put off your old self, meaning because you are new, then those clothes of someone far from God don't fit you anymore. And so you need to take off the old clothes and you need to put on the new stuff, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And can I tell you, believer, if you are in Christ Jesus, then trying to wear the old you doesn't fit because Jesus died for that you so that you would be made new in him. So you can take off the old and you can put on the new. He's talking about this idea of before and after. He speaks about this in several places. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul writes to the church in Rome, a very influential place for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what did Paul say in Ephesians? He said, this is a before and after. So you need to live in the after because Jesus died for your before. And then when he tells the church in Rome, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you don't have to go the way the culture goes. Well, how do we avoid the way the culture goes? Because it's pretty powerful. It seems like it's on my phone. It seems like it's on my TV. It seems like it's on the billboards. It seems like it's in my school. It seems like it's in my thoughts. It seems like it's everywhere. How do I avoid that? Well, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the same God that made you new then can renew you in the same way. It's the same source of strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul tells the church, don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So Paul has told the Ephesian church, there's a before and after, live in the after. He's told the Roman church, don't go the pattern of the world because you can be renewed in Christ Jesus so you can live the way he's called you to. He tells the Corinthian church here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that this is how you endure suffering. This is how you endure hardship. How? Well, by the same God that saved you, you can lean into because he is for you and you can be renewed in him. This is how when you lose a parent, this is how you endure. This is how when you have a moment when you don't know what you're going to do, when the doctor says, I don't know what's next, when the nurse says, I've never seen it this bad before, this is how you endure in Christ Jesus. This is how we are renewed in Christ. One of my favorites. I could go to Colossians chapter 3, but I don't have time. I'm going to take you to one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 40. I've told you about Isaiah before. This was a man of God raised up in the Old Testament. He had to say really hard things to a really hardened people who were suffering because they had kind of run away from God. And so Isaiah has to say some difficult things, but one of the things he wants to remind them of is that there is a renewal that will come in your endurance or your waiting on the Lord. Some of you are familiar with this verse because you have it on a coffee cup or you saw it on a t-shirt, but here it is in context so you can understand and really rest in this renewal that comes in Christ. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases in strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you turned on the news lately and said, I don't know how we're going to endure? I bet they're thinking that in Maui today. We need to be reminded to pray for those who are suffering from the devastation of those wildfires. But you don't have to watch the news for long. You don't have to scroll your feed for long before you just might be overwhelmed with this thought. I don't know how we're going to get on. How is it? Well, we're renewed in Christ Jesus. We wait upon the Lord. And why is it that Isaiah tells these people who are suffering and waiting and trusting and having a hard time resting in God? Because he's not like anyone or anything else. So we are renewed in the God who made us new to begin with. And it's unlike anything else. So when he tells the church in Ephesus, you're before and after, live in the after. He tells the church in Rome, the culture goes this way. You don't have to go. You can go the way God wants you to. Be renewed in Christ Jesus. He tells the Corinthian church, this is how you endure suffering and hardship. And he tells the people in the book of Isaiah that you can do this. You can rest in God because he is entirely different from anyone or anything else. He made you new. And so if you are in Christ, first thing we understand is we are made new. The second thing we understand is we are renewed in Christ. So made new by Christ, renewed in Christ. And it's imperative as God's people that we understand this. The same source of our change is the source of our sustenance. It is the same Jesus who saves that is the Jesus that sustains. God help us if we ever think we outgrow our need for Jesus. You with me? It is only, it is always Jesus. But at times, we can be guilty of growing spiritually run down. Just tired, like a building that's been neglected. It's not that it's not new. It's just in the need of reconditioning. Right? It's just that it's grown dark and dim and things don't work like they used to. And sometimes, spiritually speaking, neither do we. And we need to be reminded that it's the same God that made us new that is available to keep us renewed in him. It's the same God. It's the same source. And like I was having a conversation on Thursday with a woman in our church, and she's in her mid-70s, and she has a son who's in his mid-40s, and he's got a great job and a great family, and she was saying sometimes she helps him out in his work, and that every time she's about to leave or he's about to leave, she's always quick to tell him, to remind him, drive safely on your way home. And we started giggling because this is a 40-year-old man with a family of his own, and his mid-70-year-old mother is still coaching him up and reminding him. And I teased her a little bit about that, and she said, "Oh, Pastor, once a mama, always a mama." And all the ladies said, "Listen, that's not an excuse to keep coaching your grown kids. Mom, I got to tell you, at times, I'm just teasing. My mom, I love my mom, but she still coaches me. Because once a mama, always a mama. She understands this is never anything you outgrow. Now, it may evolve, but it's never anything you move away from. Well, if you are in Christ Jesus, then the evolution is a maturation. But it's never anything you outgrow. You with me, fam? You've never outgrown your need and dependence upon Jesus. None of us have. But in fact, the moment you understand who Jesus is in light of who we are, then the more you'll recognize we have a growing dependence and need and necessity for him. He's not the finish line. He's the starting gate. And he is available as he was to make us new, to renew us in him. And the reason it matters so much is because if you are in Christ Jesus, then we have work to do for him. Surely you would agree with me that as cool as this place is, and I'm amazed, the lights and how bright the colors are and how nice the seats are and how great the room looks. And if you haven't yet experienced the children's ministry area, we've added classrooms and the check-in is fantastic. And we've tried to be as hospitable for guests and families that are coming to our church. We've expanded life group ministry space for adults. We're adding parking starting in the next month. And I'm so excited about all these things. But surely you recognize that God's not done yet. Surely you are with me that it's not about this. That God's not building a physical place. He is building a spiritual people. That's the church. It's a people, and God is calling a people to himself. And so because we believe that he has greater work to do, like I'm out if it's all about the paint and the lights and the screens, I'm out. Those are instruments in a redeeming God's hand to bring about everlasting change in the lives of any person he has entrusted to our care. And I believe he wants to do so much more of that. And I think he wants to use you and I to do that good work. Because I believe that's how he works. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, that same church that he was encouraging in the before and after and how to live in the after. He reminded them as it relates to their salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He said, you're saved by grace through faith and it's not your responsibility. And then he goes on in verse 10 and he says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we understand that because we have been made new and then in Christ Jesus we are renewed, it's because he has work for us to do. And he actually prepared this work in eternity past. Unique to you and me. Can you fathom this? That the God of the universe who knows us and loves us so personally and intimately, he has numbered the hairs on our head. For some of you, it's easier math than the others. But I'm saying, he knows us personally and intimately. And that same God has designed and drawn up work for you and I to do because we've been made new and renewed, and he is entrusting it to you and to me. Like some of the best coaches, we're almost to football season. Can you believe that? That's the second time somebody amen that. Man, welcome to pastoring in Texas. Can I get a witness? And so we're almost to football season. Some of the best football coaches are great coaches because they draw great plays. They design great plays based on the personnel, based on the players they have on their team. And based upon each player and their unique gift and ability, then great coaches draw up great plays specific to those players. In fact, I'm a Texas Tech Red Raider, and there was a while we had a couple of really good wide receivers. They both ended up playing in the NFL, Danny Amendola and Wes Welker, and they were both not prototypical body types for successful wide receivers, but they were very quick and very elusive, very difficult to tackle. And so starting in college, the coaching staff designed very specific plays to help accentuate their specific gifts that allowed them to be a success. Did you know that God has drawn specific plays for you? Like the greatest coach in all of human history, who knows you better than anyone or anything else, has drawn up specific plays for you. And now it's just our job to run them. But the only way in which we're going to be ready and prepared to go and to run the plays that our coach has drawn is if we are renewed in Christ Jesus. And if we think we outgrow God, the same one who changed us is the one who sustains us. And if we fail to recognize that reality, then we're going to be out of gas when our play gets called. We won't be ready. And I can tell you, just because I've been in this long enough, that there are many times when many of us find ourselves spiritually run down. I don't know why. Like, it's different for everybody. Maybe you got something going on personally. Maybe you're having a hard time financially. Maybe there is an issue you're navigating emotionally. But you're having a hard time, and you're feeling just spiritually run down. And I just want to remind you, in Christ Jesus, that the same God who changed you is the God that keeps you. And he has worked specifically for you. And I believe that the only way in which we're going to be ready to do that is if we are renewed in him. You with me? Some of you were here early in the spring in February. It was Sunday, February the 26th of this year, when we had a worship service in this room, looked different back then, where we determined we would consecrate ourselves in preparation, in spiritual preparation, as an indication of readiness for what we believed that God wanted us to do. As a part of our Proclaim initiative as a church and family of faith, we consecrated ourselves, we separated ourselves, we readied ourselves in God to do whatever it was that we thought God was entrusting for you and I to do. And if you remember that day, if any of you were here, you might remember our verse of scripture came from the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And this story is just before Joshua is going to lead God's people into the land of promise. And do you remember that Josh had called a big team huddle, and he had called all of the people together, and he had said, we need to ready ourselves, because if we're going to move into this land that God has reserved for us, we need to be ready and right with him. And in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, he speaks to the people and he says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Well, church family, it's August the 13th of the same year. And look where we are now. And here's what I believe. Our tomorrow begins today. I think our tomorrow begins today, and I think God wants to do wonders among us. I believe that. I believe that God wants to do Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. I believe God wants to do things in us and in our family of faith that are so significant there would be no way for any human to take credit for it, but God would be glorified by it. I think there are marriages to be reconciled. I think there are families to be restored. I think there are prodigals to be returned. I think there are those who are far from God that he desires to bring near. I think there are addictions that God will break. I believe with all of my heart there are adoptions that are going to be celebrated. There are families that are going to be grown. There are babies that are going to be born. There are healings that are going to take place. I believe with all of my heart that tomorrow begins today. And I want to be ready. I want to be renewed in Christ Jesus. The same God that saved me, is the God that sustains me, and I'm ready to be renewed in Him, because I don't want my walls to dim, and I don't want my flooring to get old, and I don't want to be spiritually run down where I am hindered from doing the work that I think He's called and entrusted to you and to me. And so the question is, are you ready? Like, this can't be it, right? I'm so grateful for this. I praise God for this. I give Him all the credit for everything that has led to this. But I'm not done, and neither is He. It's not about this. It's about Him and those who have yet to meet Him and the work that He is desiring to do in them and through them, through you and me, because we're renewed by Him. And so, some of you who are here today and those who are watching online, your first step is that you need to be made new in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're not a better creation. You're not a modified creation. You are brand new in Christ Jesus. And for some of you today, you've been playing church. You've been around church. You've talked to people about church. But today is the day when you need to belong to the church, because you need to be born again, made new. Others of you, you gave your life to Jesus a long time ago. But maybe you felt spiritually run down. And today is a day of renewal. It is a season of renewal. Your family has drifted. Your faith has not been the priority that it should be. It's not a matter of whether or not you belong. It's a matter of whether or not you've been in. And today is a day, like, grab your spouse's hand, grab your child's hand and say, we are going to be renewed in Christ Jesus. We're renewing our commitment to His church. We're renewing ourselves in God. Because I believe with all of my heart that our head coach has drawn specific plays. And I want to be ready to run whatever it is that He has created you and me to do. You with me? And so if you've been visiting Prestonwood for any period of time, you don't yet have a church home, I would invite you to decide today that you want to make Prestonwood your church. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've never been baptized like those four friends we saw baptized today, I would encourage you to come and tell us that you need to be baptized. You know, baptism, it's an outward expression, that's what it is, of the inward change. It's the picture of what God has done. So when a person goes under the water, they're buried with Christ as He died for our sin. And when they come out of the water, it symbolizes that we are united with Christ as He has risen to everlasting life. That's what baptism is. And that's the reason why we cheer and we celebrate, because it is the outward celebration of what God has done here inside. And so some of you need to be baptized, and we want to celebrate with that, with you about that. But whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, I'm going to pray, and we're going to enter into a time of worship response as a part of our invitation. And our ministers will be here at the front of the room. And online, we would love to connect with you in the chat. We have a ministry staff that would love to converse with you if God is leading you to make any decision here today. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you've done. Father, I pray that we would recognize we never outgrow our need for you. That in Jesus we're made new, renewed, because you got work for us to do. And I want to just be ready. God, I pray that you would just move in this place, that you would move in us as your people. I pray that we would be a people who are marked by our life change. That because there is a before and after, we would live in the after. And that we would be renewed in you here today. We love you and trust you. We cannot do this without you. So we pray to you and through you in Jesus' good name. Amen.